So we are currently looking at the history of the Bible at the time of the book Kings 2. We should always try to understand whereabouts we are in the history of the Bible, so that when we read through the Bible and listen to the sermon, we will understand God's message correctly. The book Kings is at a time period of the divided kingdom, and we've discussed about Jeroboam, the first king of the North Israel, who changed God into an idol and started worshipping and sacrificing for the idol. In addition to that, we also went through how the king Ahab and Jezebel introduced Baal and Asherah as new idols for the people of Israel to worship. So we are basically looking at how the kings put their kingdom in crisis by disobeying God and leading the people in wrong ways. Last Sunday, we talked about how Ahijah became the king of North Israel after his father Ahab's death, and how he ended up dead after only 2 years of ruling his kingdom. We also looked at Elisha, who was taught by Elijah, and his journeys as a prophet. As we continue on from the chapter 3 of the Kings 2, the chapter 3 verse 1 to 3 says that Joram, son of Ahab, became king of Israel in Samaria in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and he reigned 12 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, but not as his father and mother had done. He got rid of the sacred stone of Baal and his father had made. Nevertheless, he clung to the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he had caused Israel to commit. He did not turn away from them. The king Joram, another son of Ahab, removed the sacred stone of Baal as soon as he took over as a king of North Israel, possibly because he witnessed how Ahijah died asking for his health conditions and recovery to a fly idol. And at the time Joram got rid of the sacred stone of Baal, his mother Jezebel was still alive, which tells us that the message was passed on firmly by Elijah, that God is the one and only God. However, we need to remember that the sin Jeroboam committed by making an idol in Bethel and Dan was worshipping is still remaining in Israel and is repeated through the kings of Israel. When Joram saw Ahijah's death, he might have thought that he will be okay if he just destroyed the sacred stone of Baal, but he didn't think that the gold calf idol that his father brought in as a problem of worshipping idols. In fact, these idols were the start of idolatry and sin, but it seems like he treated it like symbolic representation of the kingdom since it was there from the beginning. From this, we can see that all the kings didn't know any of God's rules or regulations or any promises that God gave Moses to pass on. They know that back in the history that their nation was freed from slavery in Egypt and God helped through that time, but they obviously didn't know who God was and how he worked through people, and also they weren't aware of his orders as well. Because from the time of Jeroboam's ruling, even the people who knew little about God was chosen as priests, so there would have not been that many priests who knew about God's promises. So the king Joram basically didn't bother to look back into the history to find out the root of the sin. Instead, he just saw what happened to his brother and hoped that it would solve the problem by just not worshipping the Baal idol. We often mistaken these things too. For example, when the parents fight, there's always the root of the problems in arguments between them. But they ignore the root of the problem and only see how they are emotionally affected or hurt from it, and only argue about who was hurt more. And although they might be hurt after some time because their anger cools down a bit, they always reconciliate and get back together. But because the root of the problem is not fully dealt with or is not solved, they will end up arguing again about the same subject. We can say that Joram's behavior was similar to this. when we discover a sin and our life is affected by it, we just think that we need to get rid of that sin only. But we need to look back at our lives and see where it all came from and try to solve that problem, since this is always repeated but never taken care of or looked deeply into. When we don't care about God's words or just ignore it, compromise with the sins, make up an excuse rather than obeying God, we'll end up distorting God's message and show attitudes of disobedience and refusal. Once our attitudes are developed, it acts like a bridge connecting to all of our different sins, putting us more distant from God, and we just keep blaming other things and making excuses to make ourselves feel a little bit better. So it's important for us to remove the root of our sins and our attitudes of disobeying the Bible and God's words that are hard to follow. All the sins come from being careless with God's words and not wanting to find out about His messages towards us. I hope you all look back at your lives. When we meet difficult situations or problems in our life, we try to figure out the cause and try to solve it by changing anything that is directly related to the problem. So when you struggle to get a job, or the business is not working out, or your study results are not great, or having trouble trying to fit into a community, or just any kind of struggles, we tend to think that maybe it all happened because we didn't attend church or didn't help with the service, and God might be punishing us. So we try to be more active in church and help out with more things, hoping to solve the situations in life. But if we don't remove our attitudes of disobedience and refusal of the Bible, what is said to be our roots to all the upcoming falls in our beliefs and faith, these problems will just keep arising and repeat again. People who say that they know a lot about God often make these kind of mistakes. They know that God won't like it, but they just choose to go forward with it until they meet a really big problem in their life and regret it then. The changes we make might give us a way around the problem, but it won't last long and we will be hit with another similar problem unless it's fully solved. Because the bridge connected to the world we live in isn't still broken yet, so the sin will continue to come into our life. Although we might not be able to see the change with our own eyes right now, but we need to stop being lazy and start opening our heart to God and obey His words and orders in order to recover our relationship with God and to have a stronger faith in Him. I hope everyone changed their attitudes towards the Bible and recover their relationships with God. The both north and south of Israel both show sinning by continuing to distort God in their lives. Just like how Jeroboam from the north got rid of the Baal idol but still left the gold calf idol that his father brought in, and the kings of the south tried to live as God told them to do, but when they are in stable condition or faced with crisis, they just ended up betraying God and leaving Him as well. Some of the kings did try to serve God the right way and acted upon it, but none of them removed the high places where Solomon worshipped idols. This is repeatedly emphasized by the author of this book. So losing our interest in the Bible, compromising with the wrong attitudes, distorting God and disobeying the Lord won't get us anywhere. If we say we want to walk in faith, but still live with the wrong attitudes, we just can't live in faith. Having the wrong attitude will just burn us out and make us complain about the difficult life that we choose to live and end up just letting everything go and betraying God. I hope your life is nothing like the King Joram and also like the kings of South, who say that they will obey God but still hold on to all the sinful attitude and forcefully make themselves look religious. In order to not follow their pathways, we need to take time looking back at our relationship with God and prioritize reading and understanding the Bible and God's promises. Not valuing the Bible and learning its true meanings can be critical to our relationship with God. We need to be closer to God and really be thankful to God for giving us all the guidance and orders to overcome any sort of problems or situations in our lives. Anyway, continuing with the history, the King Joram ended the Onri dynasty by worshipping idols. The chapter 3 of the Kings 2 also features Joram conducting war with the Moab who betrayed as the king Ahab died. Joram also calls help from the south and also from the Edom tribes as well. On their way to the war in the desert, they couldn't find any water for 7 days and they were all very exhausted. And at that time, the King Joram was blaming God and complaining that God is making them die on the hands of Moab. A lot of people are like the King Joram. They put themselves in a hard situation, and if something doesn't work out as how they planned, they just blame it on others, or maybe their ancestors, or on God. So God didn't order them to be in this war, and this was just the result of their disobedience, but the king, who didn't even thought about God on a daily basis, blamed him for everything. So people who take all the glory of their success and blame all the fails on others often can't see the real essence of the problem. You need to check your current state and accept your weaknesses if you don't want to ruin your life blaming everyone else. So you should all be a person who can accept and acknowledge their weaknesses, evil sides, and laziness. When we admit all our mistakes and weaknesses to God and repent on it, God will forgive us and recover us from the sin. Even though the king blamed God for all the hard times during the war, God still sent prophet Elisha and brought Israel to victory in war. From here, we can see God's willingness to bring the Israelites back to God. Let's not forget that God's persisting love towards us keeps us going. In chapter 4, the prophet Elisha's disciple dies, and the widow was about to lose her 2 sons as slaves due to her debt. But the prophet Elisha helps the widow free from debt by filling all the empty jars with olive oil she had and sold them for money. The Bible says that this disciple of Elisha really revered God. So he basically lived to carry out his missions and answer his callings from God, but he was still struggling financially and was in debt and even died early. We need to think about what their lives are like when they believe in God and live with faith, and what the Bible says about them. Even though you love God and obey Him, you can still be financially unstable, faced with hardships, and be hit with unexpected situations. That's why God gave His detailed rules and regulations as a guide to us to overcome those situations and how to help each other when needed. So when we are hit with difficult problems in our life, we should not blame God in any way, but learn to overcome with faith and patience. Thank God for all the good things in your life. Help others when you have more than others. Have love towards others who are struggling and be willing to help them out and live a victorious life with God. The prophet Elisha helped the poor widow who was about to lose her sons if she couldn't pay off her debt. Chapter 4 also features Elisha blessing a lady from Shunem who treated Elisha and his followers, asking nothing in return. It's important to love people, but also to live a life loved by people. Everyone wants to be loved and liked by others, but not many people live a life to be loved by most people. In order to become those who are loved by others, we should be considerate of other people and help without wanting anything in return. This lady was so willing to serve the Prophet and make the visit as comfortable as she can, that the Prophet was actually concerned about how to thank her back. Even God will do that too. In your own selves, instead of expecting to receive something, you should all share the love you receive from Jesus amongst yourselves and be willing to serve each other. Love is the key to strong relationships. In any kind of relationship, we shouldn't wait to be served first or expect to receive something first. Instead, we should share the love, help each other, encourage through hard times, bless each other so that you have the power as a group to get through everything together. God will definitely bless and fulfill those who choose to serve others and take care of others. And the lady who served the Prophet had a child who grew up but then died after suffering from migraine. When the child died, the Prophet Elisha came by to wake him up from his death. Even when there was a drought in the country for 7 years, Elisha told the lady to leave her home for a bit and return after the drought, giving her ways out of troubles. We worry that God might not know our needs, so people always pray so hard with their true heart, but the Bible says that the God knows all of our needs, remembers all the good things we've done to make God happy and bless us for it. So instead of asking for what you need or want, always serve others and love others, just like how Jesus did. Don't be upset or be disappointed when they don't do the same for you in return, but just do it with all your heart and hope for the blessing of their souls and serve them with love. In chapter 4, the Prophet Elisha added flour to the pot of a soup that they were served with, which got rid of the poison in the soup and became edible. And it also features miracle of feeding hundreds with just 20 loaves of bread. In Elisha's life following God's duties, a lot of miracles are seen and introduced in the Bible. In chapter 5, Naaman, who was a commander of the army of the king Aram, had leprosy but was all treated completely by Elisha. When Naaman came to Elisha from a very far country, Elisha didn't even go out to the door or even see them, and just told his slave to tell Naaman to go to the Jordan and wash off his body 7 times and return to his country, which made the king Naaman rage at first. But the king's slaves calmed Naaman down, and they were telling that he should just try anything to be free from the disease. We all want things to be done in a way we want it to be done. So we would always get angry if it doesn't work out in a way that we want it to be, and refuse to listen to God, even though that might be the pathway to life and recovery. In front of God, just don't try to be so stubborn or be so up yourself to win over. Just believe in the Bible and obey as what the Bible says to us, instead of believing what we think is right. That's the only way to the recovery and to be healed. As I say this repeatedly, don't try to understand and interpret the Bible in your own way. Just change yourself to what the Bible says. The king Naaman was about to go back to his country because it was not done the way he thought it to be, but because of those around him who obeyed, he ended up experiencing the miracle. So when the people from the world or just the churches look for something dramatic or miracles, but we should just be the ones who suggest and advise them to obey to God's words. God's work through us is not only shown through anything spiritual or holy assembly, but only through our obedience. Even though we might be doubting God and think that it might be impossible, if we still obey and do as what He tells us to do, then we will experience Him working through us. In chapter 6, the company of the prophet Elisha dropped an axe into the water while cutting the tree, which was borrowed from someone. And then the prophet Elisha dropped a stick into the water, which made the axe float in the water so it could be retrieved. Also, every time the North Israel was in a war with Aram, God helps through Elisha by letting the Israelites know all the tactics, which made the king of Aram think that there was spy within his people. A lot of miracles are seen through Elisha, which tells us that God was trying to help and protect the Israelites despite their obedience, rather than destroying them all. God doesn't want to kill and destroy all the people who disobey Him, but He wants all those people to realize that they are in the wrong pathway and come back to God and live with God's blessing. As a Christian, instead of showing the world how powerful that God is and try to prove His abilities, be the person who can pass on how much He loves us and cares for us. Halfway through the chapter 6, it continues on with how the Aram starts the war again against the Israels. After the King Naaman's case and all the kindness of Elisha, Aram decided to attack Israel again. So the Aram army surrounded the kingdom in Samaria of North Israel. So the Israelites were unable to obtain food from outside, so they were very short on food inside the kingdom, and it really pushed the nation into a worse situation. We can see how hungry they were, because they said that they began eating bird poop and end up eating their own kids at the end. Chapter 6, verse 28 to 30 says that, "Then he asked her, 'What's the matter?' She answered, 'This woman said to me, "Give up your son so we may eat him today, and tomorrow we'll eat my son." So we cooked my son and ate him. The next day I said to her, "Give up your son so we may eat him." But she had hidden him. When the king heard the woman's words, he tore his robes as he went along the wall. The people looked and they saw that under his robes he had sackcloth on his body. When we refer to the Bible, these prophecies are predicted to happen when people choose to stick to disobeying God. This shows how the Israelites were isolated from God and spiritually isolated as well. After the king heard about this horrific incident and ripped his robes, he wasn't repenting on how big his sins were. Instead, he was so furious at the prophet Elisha and stated that he will kill him when he meets him. He didn't think that his disobedience and lack of faith led to this situation. Instead, he was blaming Elisha for not helping him out in this situation, and also blamed God that he didn't look after him and his kingdom. Don't we wonder why God puts us through all the hardships and sometimes blame Him for it? But when we don't look back at our lives, and when things don't work out, people just put the blame on God and be so mad at God. But we all need to remember that God doesn't give us trouble and make our lives difficult. It's us who make God's work difficult. The king Joram sent assassins to kill the prophet Elisha after losing his temper. The king threatens him and argues that he can't avoid God's trap as a human being. Instead of looking back at all the evil he has done and repenting on his sins, he accuses God for the situation and gets annoyed that there's no way out of it and just keep blaming God. However, God kept giving the king chances to come back to God. He saved the people in despair through Elisha, even though the king was still full of resentment towards God. We should not forget God's eagerness and keenness towards His people. Chapter 7, verse 1 to 2 says, "Elisha replied, 'Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, a seah of the finest flour will sell for shekel, and two seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. The officer on whose arm the king was leaning said to the man of God, "Look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of the heavens, could this happen?" Because the people around the king were so influenced by the king's values, there was an officer who was just acting like the king. When Elisha told them that from the past, when people were eating their own kids and the flour being unaffordable, to now where the prices will drop significantly to be available for people, the officer who was listening was making sarcastic remarks, questioning whether it will be possible, even if God opens his gate from the heaven. This officer did see the reality of the situation, but didn't have the eye to see the Spirit and God's working through people. And at the end, because the officer was still doubting God, Elisha told him that he will see it with his own eyes, but not be able to eat any of it. The world we live in right now is full of things that seem impossible, just like the North Israel. So how we are seeing the reality, like the officer or like Elisha? Rather than believing God's words with faith, are we blaming God and others and resent God for not being there for me or live in fear of the reality? The Bible tells us, do not fear anything and believe in God with all your faith. We are not telling you to deny the reality, but to believe and trust God's promises and live with faith. Faith is not disbelieving what we can see or denying difficult situations, but to look up to God who knows us better than us and hope that these difficulties turn out as a chance to be closer to God and trust Him. As we keep reading through, we can see that everything God had promised through the prophet Elisha was all achieved. God made the army of Aram to see things that didn't even exist to scare them away from the Israel people. When the people realized that all the Aram armies were gone, everyone rushed out to obtain all the food that they left when they ran away. And the officer who was laughing at God, he doubted God and was trying to make people line up for it and keep them in order while grabbing the food, but he ended up being squashed by people rushing out and died. So he did see that they had all the food, but he did not get to eat any of it. Once again, the true faith is not believing that difficult situations will change dramatically, but to believe how God will work for us when we rely on Him and trust Him despite the difficult situations. In order to have this kind of faith, we first need to know the rules and regulations of God and really experience God through our lives. That faith only comes from listening to God and from the Bible. So we need to believe in the Holy Spirit who helps us to listen out for God and realize God's true feelings in the Bible and act upon it. Although God showed and proved that He is the only God through the prophet Elisha a couple of times, the Israelites still didn't realize that God is our only Savior. The Bible describes these kind of people in the Psalm chapter 49 verse 20. People who have wealth but lack understanding are like the beast that perish. So people who read the Bible so many times and still have the wrong idea and wrong beliefs, trying to understand as how they want to interpret it, and they still want to be fulfilled with their wants, are described as beasts that perish. These people will just end up being completely destroyed and defeated. When we look at chapter 8, the king Aram becomes ill and he sends off people to the prophet Elisha to ask about his state and whether he can recover from it. And even the kings from the foreign countries come to Elisha to ask, while the kings of Israel, who saw all the miracles, still go to idols to ask whether they can be recovered. The author really shows how the people have become beasts and end up being destroyed by Asha and Babylon and taken as slaves at the end. The prophet Elijah showed the people that God is the only Lord, not the Baal or any kind of idol, and also proved that God can cause drought to ruin harvesting and also cause rain in the drought. And he was the creator of the world and drives the history to the way he already promised. But despite the prophet's work, the Israelites still didn't believe God as the only Lord and was relying on idols introduced from foreign countries, which caused the neighboring countries to invade. So the God sent the prophet Elisha, and he showed them that God is our only savior and all the idols are just useless. The Bible really shows us that the God is the only one who can save us from the death and give us an eternal life. When we look at the works of Elisha, only God can solve our problems and save us from the death, not humans or any idols. The king Yoram even experienced God when the Aram invaded the kingdom, and also how God saved them during the invasion, but still doesn't have faith in God. Even though God showed to him and proved to him, he wouldn't listen and believe in him. And when the kings of the foreign nations come to God for help, the chosen people, Israelites, still ignored God and went to idols for help. This is because they think they know God's promises and orders, but they don't even know who God is properly. If they know nothing about God, they could have chance to change through miracles. However, when they say that they know about God, but in fact doesn't know anything about God, they just end up believing their own way, which makes them disobey God and not trust Him and lose their faith. They're just blocking out God's callings and His warnings. This is why God tells us to teach and educate our children properly, but this is not being done well. So Israel just kept falling down more quickly. It is important to study the history of the Old Testament, because when we look at the history and the big picture, we are less likely to be affected and shifted by daily problems. People do take actions to solve their problems, and that action might seem like an okay solution at the time of the problem, but if it is wrong, referring to the Bible and the Holy Spirit, that decision or actions are going to put us in a big trap, destroying us at the end. That's why having a better picture of the history and having better understanding of the Old Testament is so important in deciding how to live our lives and for us to develop better discernment when making choices in our lives. When we read through the Bible and know the history, then we would only realize God's guidance through our lives, which will help us to see the right pathway of our life. So we should not try to control God through our prayers, but just try to equip ourselves with faith and the values of God. Then it will guide us through the world, temptations, or any difficult times, or even with our greed, on how to live as how we were called upon. The only thing that can win over temptations and Satan's test is the Bible and the words of God. Even with the prayers, once we know the Bible correctly, we can pray for the right things rather than for things we want, so that God will answer to our prayers and help us realize what God really wants through us. So pray hard, concentrate on your prayers, and sincerely pray, but in a correct way that God wants. If we don't know the Bible well, we are going to think that praying for things to be better in our lives is okay and nothing bad. So we should always love the Bible, have it close to you at all times, read and share with others, and try your best to live as God's promises and regulations for blessed life, and a life that God walks through with us. We should all become the holy priest in our own life.